This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated in conjunction with the Litchfield Church of God. Kingdom Ministries is a corporation, nonprofit corporation, that was created to simply and clearly proclaim the message of the Bible, the gospel message of God's coming kingdom. The kingdom of God is real. It is literal. And it's future. It's going to take place at a time when God is ready to have it established. He has provided, God has provided Jesus, his only begotten Son, to be the king of that kingdom. And Jesus today sits at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And someday, when God sees fit, when God's timing is right, and the world is ready according to God's timetable, God is going to send Jesus to this earth. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 says that no man knows the day or the hour, not the angels of heaven, not the Son of Man. No man knows the day or the hour that Jesus is going to return. Jesus himself, the Messiah, the Son of God, does not know the day that his Father, Yahweh, Jehovah, God Almighty, has put in his own power. God has appointed the day. And he will then send Jesus when the time is right, and Jesus will descend. And as the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. At that time, Jesus will descend. There will be a shout, a voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain, Christians who are alive and remain, will be caught up together to meet Jesus in the air. And from that time on, we will be with Jesus. We will have been changed from mortal to immortal, from a corruptible being to an incorruptible being. It's at that time, at the second coming of Jesus, that we will ultimately receive our reward of eternal life. I'd like to have you get a Bible. I'd like to have you get a piece of paper and a pencil that you can write down the passages that we're going to look at. If you can follow along in your Bible, that is just great. If you would like to write them down, I would encourage you to do that as well so that you can go back and re-examine the scriptures to find out what they say, to re-examine and study them for yourself, to review what we're talking about today. We're looking at the book of Romans in chapter 8, and I looked at verses 28 and 29, and I spoke last time specifically about chapter 28. But I want to focus more now into verse 29 of Romans 8. I'm going to go back and read these two verses to give you the context of what is being said here. Paul is writing to the church of Rome, and he says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And verse 30 goes on and says, and these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. As a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, we become children of God. That's clear, very clear in the New Testament teaching. We were originally made in God's image and made perfect, according to the book of Genesis. but because of free will that was given to us, the first man made a deliberate choice and chose to go against what God wanted, and man sinned. But because of Jesus, who was also given free and deliberate choice, and who chose to follow what God wanted, we can have life. In the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says that in Adam we all die, but in Christ we're all going to be made alive. That's chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ will all be made alive. We are saved by grace, God's grace. Another verse you might want to write down is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul is, again, this is another letter. It's called an epistle. It's a letter that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus on one of his missionary journeys. And to the church at Ephesus, he writes this in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. We are saved by God's grace, and grace is receiving something that we don't deserve. We can't buy salvation. We can't earn salvation. We can't work for salvation. It is a gift of God. And by being created in the God's image, he created us for the purpose, as we see in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So now go back to Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 29. God created an entity that we call the church, and it is made up of people, the bride of Christ. He has created the church that anyone who would accept Jesus Christ could be part of his family. It's a free and deliberate choice to be in God's family. And God knew those individuals who would accept. He predestined the church to be conformed to the image of his son. But the church is made up of groups of people. Each individual chooses for themselves. To those who he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. The trials that we spoke about last week in verse 28, the challenges that we face are sometimes of our own making. Sometimes there are challenges that God or testing grounds that God puts us through to serve as character builders. We sometimes pray for patience and then end up having challenges to those patients. There may be characteristics in our life that are not God-like characteristics, and some of the things that we may endure to shape us and mold us and fashion us like unto Jesus Christ are going to challenge us, so that as we look back at our experiences, we're going to see that God was at work. God was shaping me. God was preparing me for something. God was going to use me in a special way. So God is shaping and molding us to be conformed to the image of his son. Jesus Christ is God's only begotten son. He is perfect. And God is shaping and molding each of us to be in the image of Jesus. That's what verse 29 says. God wants us to be conformed to that image. And what's going to be necessary is to get rid of some of the characteristics that are not godly, to shape us into individuals that are going to be usable for his service. And this is going to take some of an opportunity for us to, as we walk with God, to have to endure some trials, things that might not be pleasant, but God sees the end from the beginning, and he is shaping us, fashioning us, and molding us to be in the image of his Son. God wants a family of believers that follow him because they want to. He doesn't want a group of robots. We are individuals of free choice. And so we make the decision and the choices that we want. And sometimes we make good choices, but sometimes we make bad choices. And those choices are going to help, going to be shaping our ultimate destiny. If we trust in God day by day and allow him to lead and guide us, we will ultimately receive a crown of life that will not fade away. But if we, of our own free will, choose to do the things that the world wants us to do, that are not godly, you will not inherit eternal life. We have that choice. The Bible teaches very clearly that you can, if you do not walk with God, you can lose your salvation and be condemned for all eternity. Once you accept Jesus Christ, life will go on, but you need to continue making real, godly, good choices that God directs you, as God directs you and leads you. You have the ability to choose for God or against God. God wants you as one of his kids. And if you will let God use you, he will shape you and mold you and fashion you into an individual that will be Christ-like. As we continue, may God bless you as you study and read his word day by day and become a student of his word.